Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Welcome back to Baskin and Phelps. I'm Jeff Phelps. My buddy's Andy Baskin. Andy's sitting in a little room in Columbus, Ohio, doing a radio show today. Was doing some Buckeye stuff last night.
It's actually pretty cool. I'm in the... They have a bunch of different studios in here, and they're after the teams, and I'm in the Browns room. So this is where they do Browns Radio Network out of here. So sometimes Tyvus sits in here when we do the show together pregame. So I'm in the Browns room, so I feel like I'm in Cleveland. It's great. Oh,
that's really nice. What's the vibe that you have in Columbus? Are people pumped about this, or are there still people grumpy about Ryan Day, 2 losses in the regular season, embracing the old system instead of the new?
I do think there's still a pinch of grumpiness over the Michigan thing. And I don't know. I mean, I get it. I understand it. I mean, I lived down here for a long time, but it's just it's a psychological change. It's a new paradigm, man. I mean, like, you just can't.
Nice word.
If you're living in the world where you think that the Michigan game is the end-all be-all, it just isn't anymore. And, you know, at the end of the day, you want to be called national champion. You don't want to would you like to be called the team that beat Michigan? Yeah. Look at the teams Ohio State beat along the way. Michigan was was probably one of the worst teams they played all season. Michigan fan knows that. They didn't have a good year this year, and that was their Super Bowl. And, that's what happened to Michigan, and that's just how it ends. But Ohio State, I mean, look who they beat. They beat Tennessee. They beat Oregon. They beat Texas. They beat Penn State. They beat Indiana. You know, they played Oregon twice, and they came within 1 point in the first game. The loss they had, you know, was by 1 point to Oregon. And so, you know, they had a bad game plan against Michigan. I think they overthought the game. I thought it was just... they made the game bigger than it had to be in this scenario. And I know the Michigan game always is a big game. But at the end of the day, this isn't Woody Hayes, and you don't have to win the Michigan game to get to a bowl game. And it's not the end-all, be-all. Does it act like... We'll talk to Bryant coming up here in about 20 minutes, and he'll tell you that he's got 5 pairs of those little gold pants because he was a part of 5 teams that beat Michigan, and that's super important to him. But would you rather go down in history as a team that has a little pair of gold pants, or a team that can say, we were national champions in 2025 or 14 or 02? So, like, it's a new world. Do I want them to beat Michigan every year? I absolutely do.
Sure.
But it's not the end-all, be-all.
It's like you want the Browns to beat the Steelers and the Ravens.
Yes.
Which, by the way, they did.
But it didn't matter.
There you go. And I get it. I understand it. You know, I'm the dude who drove a minivan into the ground. I like hanging on to things. In the world of college football, this is it's a different game now. And it's much, much, much like pro football. You know, not only with money, but Andy, with structure. You know, these guys played 16 games, and much more like structure of the NFL. And I think the college football fans are going to have to embrace that. What I wonder is, are they going to embrace Ryan Day? Jeff's in Avon Lake. Jeff, welcome to the
show. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, it's actually Zach, but I've been called worse, right?
Oh, so, hey, Zach.
Yeah, Jeff's not a bad name. Hi, Zach.
That's right. I agree. And you know what? Baskin had a good point there. What he said was absolutely dead on, is that we're, you know, I was at Ohio State from 98 till 2003. So I saw the John Cooper get pushed out of Columbus, and I saw, you know, people come in that Jim Tressel, Urban Meyer, that their thought was beat Michigan. You had to beat Michigan to do anything. I mean, you didn't beat Michigan, your season was over. That's how it was for decades and decades.
And that was the structure of the game, Zach.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I agree. And everything that's happened, the NIL, the transfer portal, all these things that happened, it's changed the game entirely in a matter of a year. Because last year, to me, was the last year that the Ohio State-Michigan game actually had significance of a rivalry. Now, it's always going to be a rivalry, but the impact of winning or losing that game has all of a sudden been softened. It doesn't matter because you can win out your season. You can lose a tough game. You can lose against Michigan and still win a national title. It was never like that. There's never been an Ohio State champion that didn't go through Michigan. And now all of a sudden, Ryan Day's here, and it's almost like the game, the significance in everybody's eyes, and I think including his, doesn't quite mean that much. Urban Meyer got it. Jim Tressel got it. I don't think.
But they had to get it, Zach. Because of what you just said, what Andy said, what I've said. The structure of the game meant you had to get that rivalry, because if you didn't win that game, you weren't going to win the national championship.
I know, but now I think from this point forward, you know, 10 years from now, you're interviewing students at Ohio State, and the Michigan-Ohio State game is not going to mean anything compared to what it did 10 years ago. And I think that part of that college game is lost luster. No, do I want a national championship? Every time. But if you ask any Ohio State fan, would you rather beat Michigan and not win a national title, or win a national title and beat Michigan, it's going to be a 50-50 draw on what they say. Every
yeah,
time.
It is. I agree with that.
Zach,
that's
absurd.
He's right, though. But again, and if they take the game off of Thanksgiving, off the last regular season game of the year, come on. I mean, it's going to mean
even
less.
It doesn't even matter when it's played. It doesn't, because look when it was played, look what happened, and they still won the national championship.
Well, that's true. I agree with you. But I also believe that if they move the game up in the season, it softens the blow, the other thing. Here's the other thing. I mean, like, when we sit around and we talk about the greatest teams in college football history, you know, Michigan's there, Ohio State's there, Notre Dame is there, Alabama is there. I mean, I can go on for a little bit. Think about this, and like, I don't, anybody that's sitting here going, wow, Ohio State, you know, that Michigan game, they haven't lost to Notre Dame since 1936. They've won 7 straight over Notre Dame. Like, Ohio State owns Notre Dame.
Well,
we're coming up on 100 years of this.
They've played how many times?
7. Right. Okay. So that was 7 really... straight wins, okay. 9 total. They lost the first 2 games in 1935 and 1936. So
I'll
Notre
tell you
Dame
what, that 36
led in the
game,
series
though,
two games.
That one was a tough one.
The 35 or the 36? The 7-2 game?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was 7-2.
That stuff doesn't matter.
Oh, that safety. I'll never forget that safety. That scoop and safety.
Haleem's in Cleveland. Haleem.
Hey, Haleem.
Good talking to you, gentlemen.
And you.
Good morning.
I'm going to bring this. I appreciate your patience with this very quickly. I'm going to bring it full circle. But I'm going to start with Kirk Herbstreit, and I'll explain, right? So after the Michigan loss, Kirk Herbstreit came out and mentioned that the lunatic fringe of the Ohio State fan base has increased from 5 or 10% to 25%, right? And everybody freaked out. And now I'm not hating on a fan base. I love them. I'm one of them, right? That being said, here's the situation we're running into. Somebody that just said it's 50-50 if you poll people right now if they'd rather just beat Michigan and lose the national championship or lose Michigan and win the national championship. First of all, I don't think it's 50-50. But that's a good example. I want to go back to Kirk really quick, okay? Mm-hmm. Kirk cried last night, and here's why he cried last night. Because he sympathizes with the death threats that happened with Ryan Day and his family. And when he's talking about lunatic fringe, right, that is what he's referencing. On top of it, and the only reason I mention this is you guys said, hey, is anyone still upset that we won a national championship at this point? That's why I'm bringing this up. Mm-hmm. Now, one more thing in that regard, okay? Everyone jumped on board and thought he was calling them lunatic fringe because they were mad that we lost to Michigan. So basically, he said this comment a few times before, whether we had won or lost against Michigan. His timing of it, when he said it, was after a Michigan loss. So everyone that was upset that we had lost to Michigan and thought Ryan Day could potentially be fired or needed to be changed or whatever, all of those people thought he was calling them lunatic fringe. Rather, he was calling the idiots that would do death threats on the family and submit and put their family's address online and stuff like that lunatic fringe. When he said yesterday at the end of the game, I don't know if you guys watched it, he went to tears.
I saw
it. Saying this team, he said this team, what this team has been through. What, and I know because he also said it on two other podcasts in the last 2 weeks. He was referencing what Ryan Day's family was going through because he's incredibly close with them, his kids on the team and so forth. But to bring it all together, right? Yes, it's a different age of football. I was a member of the Ohio State staff for the two national championship losses in 2006 and 2007.
Nice.
Years in which we went undefeated, 1-2, and lost to Michigan, beat Michigan both years under Coach Jim Tressel. If you remember, undefeated 1-2, and then we lost to Florida, and then we lost to LSU. Going back, the worst moment of my life at that time, obviously, sitting in the back of the bus after the loss to Florida in New Orleans. Guys, I promise you, every single person, including Jim Tressel, including the great Woody Hayes, if they would have lost to Michigan, people that have been in it and won a national championship, and you ask them, would you rather have just beat Michigan and lost that game? Now, mind you, I'm referencing after actually playing in that game and going through that game, would have chosen a national championship and a loss to Michigan. Not that everyone would voluntarily want to lose to Michigan, but the feeling that you have after that national championship loss is unlike anything I've experienced outside of a family death. Now, and also the people that hate on Ryan Day, and they literally said, and somebody on this station made fun of him yesterday, right? A producer on a station made fun of him yesterday when he said, losing to Michigan was the second hardest day of my life to losing my father, right? They joked and said, oh, that sounded so fake. That was funny.
Ugh.
Right? I'm not going to call the person out by name.
It means he's had a pretty good life, though.
Yes, sure. But the point of, obviously, I mean, well, don't forget, he's had a lot of personal stuff happen in his life. Anyways, the point is, he wasn't lying. Like, these people are invested in all in everything, guys. Like, every piece of their soul is in this, in the program, with the kids. These coaches are a different type of human being. And you have to be a certain leader. There's not a lot of ego. Like, Urban Meyer is probably the most egotistical of all the coaches I've ever met. But he's incredible. He loved the kids. For the most part, he thought of the kids first.
All right, Haleem, thank you very much.
Haleem, good phone call. That was good stuff.
Haleem went.
Especially here from the inside.
We let him go for a long time. He had some things to say, so we wanted to let him say it. Mm-hmm. Jim is in Strongsville. Hello, Jim.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, guys. Hey, Jeff, you covered that game in 36 as a young journalist, didn't you?
It was a hell of a game, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Deshaun Kaiser's great-great-great-grandfather played in that game.
Was the guys spitting out the teeth because they weren't wearing face masks that got
That's
to
right.
me, though, Jim.
That's right.
You still
Former
have a leather helmet, that game.
I'm sorry, Jim.
Anyway, I said you still have a leather helmet, right?
What do you mean? I wore it into work today. It's cold out.
There you go. Listen, you know what? This is the way that it is, and this is the way that it should be with this playoff. The Michigan game, I understand that, but we're in a different era, and it's just like anything else. Before, when you had the AP and the coaches deciding who the national championship was, all we've ever been saying for all these years is, why don't they have a regular playoff like every other league in sports across the world?
Even in other college athletic endeavors.
Even in football. Yeah, even in NCAA
Division
football.
Division II, Division III. I mean, why can't they do
FCS,
that? Now they're doing it and everybody wants to rain. I'm like, look, there's some things that they have to work out. I think they got to work some of the scheduling out. I think there were some wonky breaks in between this stuff.
Seeding as well, Jim.
Seeding as well. But, like, once they work that stuff out, like, I mean, look, you can't argue with the product that they put. I mean, yes, there were blowouts. But there were blowouts in the wild card game of the NFL playoffs. This is what, you're going to get. How often are you going to get top 12 matchups, four of them in a weekend? I mean, it's just, I think it was wonderful. I think it was great. I think last night's game was great. It was great for Ryan Day to get the monkey off his back. I got no room to complain or argue about anything. The only people that really care that Ohio State lost to Michigan is Michigan fans who think that somehow validates their season. I don't care. That, you know what? You win a championship, you win a championship. That's what this whole thing is about, to be the top of the mountain. So be it. We don't complain when a wild card team wins the NFL, wins the Super Bowl. We don't care when a four seed wins the NBA. Come on. It's just, look.
You got in and you won, Jim.
Who the best is.
Yep, you're right, Jim. I agree. You got in and you won. Bryant Browning worked with Andy last night on a post-game show and has for some time. And he also played a little offensive line for Ohio State. He's coming up next right here on Baskin and Phelps. I'm Jeff Phelps, my partner, Andy Baskin. We go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. This guy was Andy's partner last night, working in Ohio State stuff on Spectrum. Mr. Bryant Browning. Bryant, welcome to the show. Congratulations. Your alma mater wins a national championship.
Good morning.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. Thanks for having me. Good morning. Good morning. Andy, you get some sleep last night?
I did. I got a little bit. It's a good thing I have relatives down here. I just, you know, 2 minutes. We didn't get out of there until after 1 o'clock last night. So, but it was worth every second of it. And, man, that was a lot of fun last night. It was a little bit of a roller coaster ride. Just take me through and give me the big picture on how they won last night and the game plan they had going into that.
I think they just did what they did best, right? I mean, we talk about all the athletes that we bring in and all the five-star wide receivers and the running backs and money we spent in NIL to build this team. And I think when it came down to it, the players did a great job at setting things up so our great players could make great plays. And it came down to offense, defense, special teams, took all three phases to beat that Notre Dame team. But we stuck to it, we believed, and ultimately we got the job done.
Bryant, were you concerned after the Bucs went up 31-7, I thought, ooh, looks like you're getting a little conservative on offense, even a little conservative on defense. I thought they kind of took their foot off the gas a little early last night. What did you think?
I mean, I think they definitely did take their foot off the gas, but, I mean, I'm a trestle guy, right? I'm used to playing trestle ball. So I'm used to this being conservative, trying to run out the clock and trying to get to the game to end that fashion. Hey, my last game, we played Arkansas in the Sugar Bowl. We came out with a no-huddle offense. We played the game really fast, was winning by a lot. We took our foot off the gas. Next thing you know, we end the game. But, I mean, that's what the approach was last night. And obviously, I think we left a little bit on the table. We probably could have scored some more, did a little bit more things. But once again, you know, as long as you win the game and everything kind of works out in the end, we didn't, I guess, choke and blow it. So I'm not going to be too harsh on the play calling and slowing things down, which ultimately lifts up Notre Dame back into the game. But like I said, we got it done in the long run. So, you know, that's the main goal. So.
Hey, what does this do for Ryan Day's legacy? Where are we with him right now?
I mean, this obviously puts him – I mean, his record speaks for itself, right? I mean, other than one game, obviously, I know us Buckeye fans, he can't get out of our head, even when they win the national championship. The players keep mentioning that one game as well. But other than that, I mean, I think this is his 70th win. I think his winning percentage puts him, like, with the greats, I think top three of head coaches ever. You look at his record at Ohio State. I mean, I think maybe him and Urban are kind of rivaling each other for that best winning percentage. I mean, the guy wins, right? The guy wins. So him winning a national championship and checking that box as well, I think that puts him as one of the greats. I think it's only, maybe five coaches in the Ohio State history to win national championships. So he has done that as well. So he's up there with the top.
That's Bryant Browning joining us. Do you think the hesitancy from the fan base to really embrace that guy is strictly because of his troubles against Michigan, Bryant? And does that go away now that he's a national champ? I mean, there are only three guys coaching in college football right now who are national champions. Dabo Swinney, Kirby Smart, and Ryan Day.
I'm not going to say it put it to bed because, I'm an Ohio guy. The game means so much to me as well, right? So when he loses it, I'm flustered. I don't understand. I'm looking for answers. I still will feel that way. Next season, if for whatever reason we go up to Ann Arbor and do not get the job done, but I just know what this does tell me is though that it's, you know, he just can't figure out that game. The team loves him as their coach. The team respects him. They go out and play for him. But like I said, for whatever reason, he can't figure out that one situation. So I still would be upset if we don't get it corrected next season. But I think Buckeye Nation in general would kind of you know, kind of pause on that point of like, oh, we need to move on. We need to continue to look for the next guy because he can't figure out the Michigan game. I think we see that he has what it takes to get his team to win the big game and be national champions. So this run right here was obviously historic with this 12-team playoff.
Brian, I mean, a lot of it in college football now is, you know, Big Ten versus SEC, and now back-to-back for the Big Ten. And what does this mean for football north? And the other part of it is there some sort of SEC reality? Because we're starting to hear a lot of whining from the SEC.
Yeah, a lot of whining from the SEC. And all the hypothetical matches up that they would have won if they one team, I don't know, the team that lost played a little, I don't know. But, yeah, you know, I think, I guess, you know, ever since the landscape of college football a handful of years ago, you know, when they make kind of start to miss, you know, maybe eventually this only it's only the Big Ten and the SEC as the two conferences in college football. And hopefully it doesn't dwindle that much, right? I like the idea of us having multiple conferences throughout the nation, and then the top teams for those conferences get together and, you know, and play for big games and titles and things of that nature. But, I mean, I think it's just kind of shed the light that, you know, we play great football in the North, Midwest as well. We, you know, a lot of times in the South, you know, you start talking about the Georgias, the Alabama, the Florida. Oh, they live and breathe and eat football. It's just different. It's not. In Ohio, we live for football as a from young kids on as well. It's embedded in our DNA. So, you know, things going ways. The SEC had a good wave, right? And, you know, they, especially with Nick Saban, once he kind of took over down there, the SEC went on a good run, and Georgia kind of was able to kind of get their stuff in that spot as well up there. Because LSU had a couple spot years where they was kind of very good and things of that nature. But it still never changed. The teams in the Midwest, the big boys up here, was always competitive. Just for a reason, we just maybe did not win that game. So I think you know, the light is kind of being shone in the right places. You know, we love our football. We have very capable guys on offense, defense, and the talent to compete with anyone. In the last 2 years, obviously, it has shown with the teams in the Midwest being national champions.
Brian Browning joining us, former Ohio State offensive lineman, former Glenville Tarbletter. I wonder where this goes now, Brian. And I don't mean, you know, like, okay, can Ohio State build on this? But think of all the things that came together this year. New playoff, 12 teams, NIL money like crazy. Ohio State doesn't beat its arch rival yet wins the national championship. I wonder what that means for the program moving forward. You know, does Ohio State become an even bigger power in college sports because of this? Okay, they won it and then do things back off. I'm just curious what this might mean moving forward. What do you think?
Yeah, it's fun. I think that's a very good question because, like you say, once you win it and, you know, you have what the donors and everybody kind of putting money into a pot so you can build this team and have an opportunity to win one, maybe the next season you don't donate, right? Maybe the donors don't come together as strong and kind of say, like, well, you know, we'll see what we have with the guys that's already on the roster. And then if we see that potential, maybe we will kind of ramp up donations and try to put together a pot for another special season. But I don't know. I know Coach Day does a great job at, you know, doing it all. He recruits like crazy, right, getting the best players in the nation to become Ohio State Buckeyes. If we know going into a season we're weak at a spot, we still do our due diligence and step into the transfer portal and try to bring guys in with experience to kind of fit different holes that we may have on our team due to, you know, looking at the roster, whether we're young in a position or just thin at a position. So I think at Ohio State, the goal will always be set that we should be in the playoffs every year. That would be my goal. Looking at the team, looking at the roster, obviously there will be a lot of new faces next year. We'll have a new quarterback and things of that nature. But still, I imagine whoever takes the ball from under center that we will be good enough to be at least into the playoffs. And then once you're in the playoffs, you know, you have to kind of see from there, right? I think, you know, also we had great motivation due to losing our rivalry game and the talent that we knew we had on this roster to go on that run. Each year is going to look different. Next year, another team might have that feeling like, hey, we know we have the talent. We need to go on that run. But I think Ohio State will be in that picture no matter what. But just overall, that great pool of talent that this 24 team had, you know, it'd be tough to, I guess, be matched every year.
Brian?
Sorry, Jeff.
You, Andy. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm just, where do you think Will Howard is right now in this, and how much did he grow, you know, as far as becoming an NFL quarterback over the last couple of weeks?
I think he showed a lot. I mean, I think throughout the season, right, you just kind of look at Ohio State's roster and that talent. And so, you know, sometimes even though if he has a good game or his completion percentage is really high, you know, you kind of look at the competition like, oh, well, maybe, you know, the competition wasn't the strongest. So due to that, that's probably why he had such an outstanding game. But, I mean, going through this playoff win, obviously, you're playing the top teams of the nation. If the top teams of the nation not in the playoffs, then they're not truly a top team of the nation. I think we all could agree to that. And Will Howard did his job off the field, being a leader, keeping the guys together in the right mindset to kind of go out and perform. And then also taking it out on the field as well and being that leader, making great decisions in this national championship game, running the ball when needed, getting the ball open into spaces and taking shots and things of that nature. Before the season, I think he had a really good maybe once the season started, like his deep ball wasn't the best. But you can see that got better as time went on in this season, got more comfortable with letting it fling down the field. And overall, I think it just shows that, you know, when it comes to football in general, the quarterback is probably the most important position. I think we all could agree to that. We all are Browns fans. We understand what happens when we don't have a quarterback.
Yeah, thanks, Brian.
Right. So I think a guy like Will Howard comes in, his leadership kind of speaks to itself. And if you could put an offense together where he could kind of stand to his strong point, I think he would be successful at the next level. And I feel like a team should definitely want that to be, you know, a part of their organization. And I hope he gets a good shot. You know, it's the NFL, right? You can get a bad shot, but hopefully he gets a good shot at showing what he can do at the next level and has success from that standpoint.
Brian, thanks for being with us. Thanks for carrying Andy last night. We're very appreciative of that.
The way I feel right now, I'm standing right there on the offensive line with him. Two of us are right there. We're just blocking for everybody else.
Thanks, Brian.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Thanks for having me, guys.
Brian Browning joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.